Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Hello, welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're so glad that you have accessed this audio recording of a message from the Word of God. This morning, before we start in 1 Kings chapter 2, let's ask God to bless our time together. Father in heaven, thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for giving us wisdom. Thank you for giving us direction and all of your amazing promises, Lord. As we look back into this passage from the Old Testament, help us to realize, God, when any of us don't heed your word, when we don't take it as seriously as we should, when we start to go against your word, Lord, that so many different things start happening that lead to just a slippery slope of all kinds of different sin and corruption and problems and chaos. God, your word tells us about these things so that we might learn from them, that we might be encouraged to do the right thing. And so help us to have wisdom and discernment, Lord, today as we look at these different passages from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in 1 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon and his son. Now, by this time, Solomon has already been set apart as the king. David has set him aside, and he's been crowned, and he is the king. But as David is getting ready to die, he gives this charge to Solomon, his son. He says, starting in verse 2 of 1 Kings chapter 2, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him, and keep his commands, decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So, you know, what a great charge as David's about to die to his son that's now king. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him so that you may prosper. And friends, I want you to know this is a common theme all the way through the Word of God. I mean, even from the very beginning when God told Adam, you know, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. He gave him a negative command to be able to exercise his free will in a perfectly sinless, uncorrupt situation. He gave him the possibility to choose to do wrong. Now, if God wouldn't have done that, we would have just been a bunch of robots. But in giving Adam and Eve that first opportunity to choose to do right. Now, again, we know that from Genesis 3 that Satan always tries to get people to question the Word of God. That's where it always starts. Did God really say? Okay, and this is where, whether it was in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, whether it was with David and Solomon in their time, whether it's right now in the 21st century, the same thing keeps coming up over and over again. Are we going to listen to God? Are we going to trust God? Are we going to be obedient to Him? Are we going to keep His decrees and His commandments? Are we going to do what He says so that we may prosper? All right, that's really what it boils down to. You know, Adam and Eve were the first human beings that God gave the gift of free will choice to. Okay, it's how God created mankind, with the ability to choose. Adam and Eve have it. All of their progeny have it as their descendants. We are created in the image of God that way, where we can choose what we're going to do. And God doesn't want to force us to do what's right. God wants us to choose to do what's right. So David's charge was good, because, you know, David was a man after God's own heart when he was a young man. But as he grew older and got in different situations, David wasn't a perfectly sinless man. And of course, you know, his probably greatest sin was in lusting after Bathsheba and bringing her to himself, even though he knew that she was Uriah, one of his 30 mighty men, one of his wife. And so, I mean, and then to have Uriah killed in battle so he could have Bathsheba. I mean, David did some terrible things. And so this is a good charge for him to give to Solomon, to walk in obedience to him. And I like that you would do this so that the Lord may keep his promise to me. So, you know, God gave David this charge, and David raised up his offspring to strive to do the same thing. Now, if you go over to 1 Kings chapter 3, and this is after Solomon's throne has been established in an even greater way after the death of his father. It says in chapter 3 and verse 4 that the king, this would be Solomon, went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now, the temple had not been built yet, and Gibeon was the most important place where sacrifices and offerings were made to the Lord. And it says in verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Wow, pretty amazing that God appeared to Solomon in a dream and just asked him. Can you imagine God asking you, hey, ask for whatever you want me to give to you? And wow, what would we ask? And this is really good, because it shows Solomon's heart at this time. It shows that his heart was very much in tune with that last charge that his father David wanted to gave him and wanted him to keep. And so look at verse 6, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Okay. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And so, man, Solomon's heart was just so right and so in place. You know, he humbled himself. And even though he had been set aside as king and was already carrying out the duties of a king, he just felt like he was so lacking in those things, and he wanted God's wisdom in his life, to have a discerning heart, to be able to govern God's people, and to distinguish between right and wrong. And I have always prayed that prayer for my children, for the church, for myself, that I would have wisdom and discernment, so that even when we've chosen to do the wrong thing, that we would recognize it and realize it. My son Stephen just did a message up in Reno at the youth rally here recently, and one of the things that he talked about, was going to talk about, I guess, was that Peter, you know, after his denial of Christ of those three times in the courtyard, after his denial, he recognized what he did, and it says that he shed bitter tears when Christ looked at him as he was being led across the courtyard, and Peter saw that he was just shamed. He was brought to tears. He repented of his rejection, and he ended up being quite the spokesman for Jesus Christ, an apostle that didn't back down after that. He didn't do everything perfect after that either, but he recognized his need for God's forgiveness and God's strength in his life. Solomon did here too. And so look at verse 10 of 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And so God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life.' Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. And he returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he gave a feast for all of his court." What a great blessing that God approved of his choice. God was pleased with what Solomon had asked for. Now, I want to ask you this. If the Lord asked you, if the Lord appeared to you in a dream, as he did to Solomon, and there's no reason to believe that he would, but no reason to believe that he wouldn't either. But if he did, and he asked you, "What do you want me to give you?" How would you answer? How would you answer? I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but man, I've thought about that so many times. What would I ask for? And, you know, I guess we can't ever know until that time happens, right? But I would certainly hope that it would be along the same lines of what Solomon asked, that we would have wisdom, that we would have discernment, that we would be able to distinguish right from wrong. I know that I would ask for a mind that would be able to, you know, remember the things that the Word of God says, and that I would be able to be winsome and convincing to people that were lost, that I would be able to be patient with them, that I would be able to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ in a manner that would challenge them and convict them, and want they would want to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and the amazing gospel of grace that God has given us in his word. I would pray that I could be faithful and true, and that I would recognize areas in my life that would keep the love of God and the glory of God covered up in my life, rather instead that we would be people that were bold in recognizing our potential and our faith and our hope and our love, and that we would pursue those things in our life. That, you know, money and possessions and riches and all of those things. I mean, all of those things are just worldly things. And the thing about it is that because God was pleased with Solomon's request for what he made, then he also said that he would bless him in those other ways. Now, here's the thing. It's like, you know, I don't really care about being rich. I want to be faithful. And you know, it really bothers me sometimes when I think, wow, you know, have I been as faithful as I should be or as I could be? And what am I going to do about that? That you know, it drives us to reevaluate our life and to say, man, you know, isn't how good God is and how amazing God is and how wonderful he is, shouldn't that be the motivation for us to say, Lord, you know, it's not my life, it's the life you want me to live. It's like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, you know, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, you know, this morning or during whatever time you happen to be listening to this, I really want you to think about this first part of this series. You know, what would you ask God for? And would God be pleased with what you asked for? You know, as you read the Word of God, as you read the Bible, you find out the heart of God. And would you ask him for something that would be pleasing in his sight? Something that would help you to be more like him. That it would bless not only your life, but it would bless other people's lives around you. Something to think about, something to consider. And I think that in this hustle and bustle, you know, just going to everything and so many distractions in life, sometimes I don't think we stop and really think about questions like that or really meditate on them. You know, Jesus said we could ask the Lord and he would give us the desires of our heart according to his will. And so there again, Bible reading and prayer and asking, they all go hand in hand together. And boy, I'll tell you what, when we're asking things according to the will of God, we have a much greater confidence that God is going to help us in our life to have those things or to rid our lives of the things that don't reflect God's heart or to be all that he can be. I love Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And so, you know, we want to put ourselves in a place where God's grace is working in us and through us, and God's power is working in us and through us. We don't want to be people that quench the Spirit of God. We don't want to be people that resist the Spirit of God. We don't want to be people that, you know, shake our fist at God or, like Demas, pursue the world and love the world and conform to the pattern of this world. We don't want that. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be like Jesus. And so it would be our continuing prayer that we consider these things and live and act like God is the most important being in our life. He should be. He deserves to be. And when he is, wow, things will go much, much better for us as we go through life. We'll have somebody who's there for us. We'll have somebody there we can trust. We'll have somebody there that we can depend on. We'll have somebody there that has given us everything we need for life and godliness as long as we continue to pursue it by faith. As long as we don't just start the race and then say, no, this is too hard, or oh, this is boring, or oh, I'm going to do it my way. And we're going to see as we continue on in this series how Solomon, he got turned away from the things that were important, and he allowed himself to be turned away. He didn't get turned away against his will. You know, none of us usually ever do. You know, if somebody's trying to force us to do something wrong, we can usually resist it pretty well. But it's when we start compromising. It's when we start letting down and giving up guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's why Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it says, above all, guard your heart, for from it spring the issues of life. And so we need to be people that are concerned about life, and especially concerned about life as God would have us to live it. A life that's pleasing to Him and pleasing to those who love Him. Hey, thanks so much for listening to us this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to teach the Word of God. If you're listening and you live here in Las Vegas, or you're visiting and you'd like to come and be a part of our in-person church meetings, you can do that by going to thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com. And there you can find on our Connect tab a place where you can contact us. And you can let us know that you're interested in being with us, and we will try to accommodate you. We don't have a huge amount of space, but we're trying to use all the space we can and social distance and do what we can to be safe through this whole virus thing. And if you're interested in that, just please let us know. Hey, until the next time, or the next audio broadcast here, take care. God bless you. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.